A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
Just came off two very big interviews. Utah County Attorney David Levitt explaining what he believes led to his loss at the primaries last night. His opponent, Jeff Gray, calling the show as well to explain why he won by some, looks like some 50-plus percent of the vote. If you missed that, that's okay. You can podcast us on your favorite podcast platform. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I was absolutely fascinated. Number one, I thought David Levitt, after getting trounced, was very magnanimous, accepted the fact that Utah County did not appreciate the direction he was taking things. He was committed to the direction. He was convinced that it was the right direction, but he also respects the fact that the Utah County folks, they were not interested in that direction.
What did he say about everybody he spoke to? If you gave him 15 minutes, you could convince him that his policies regarding, you know, the justice system would work for the county. But
he had a very simple message. He does not like plea bargains. He thinks that prosecutors should have to prove it to a jury, and the jury decides. Fundamentally, how do you disagree with that? I understand that there's an expediency and there's an ease in plea bargains, but I don't know. It was a very interesting interview.
KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
Speaking of the criminal justice system, we're wondering what former U.S. Attorney John Huber for Utah is thinking regarding the January 6th hearings. What will this potentially mean for former President Trump? Will it lead to anything within the Department of Justice? We started a conversation earlier. We had to cut you off, John, because we had breaking news out of Salt Lake City, but you're back with us.
Hey, I'm happy to be with you anytime, Dave and Debbie.
John, you are the breaking news magnet. It seems like every time we have you on, we have to cut you off.
Have you seen anything in the hearings yet that if you were still in the top prosecutor's role here in the state of Utah, would make the hair on the back of your neck stand up?
Well, yeah, first off, Debbie, the hair on the back of my neck stands up as an American. These hearings are not your usual congressional hearings. They're disciplined, they're focused, and they allow the witnesses to go on extended narratives about what they witnessed in the events surrounding January 6th. So for me, as an American, it's very interesting and it's informative and educational about what for our country was in the top tier of darkest days in our nation's history. And it would be foolish for us not to focus on what happened and try to learn from it. Then again, to your question about as a prosecutor or former prosecutor, yeah, there's a lot of things to concern law enforcers here. But remember, these hearings are not court hearings. There's not a test of the evidence and its reliability in the sense that you would have in a court hearing. And to bring a case against high-ranking officials would take compelling, admissible, in court, reliable evidence. I think that's a tall order on issues like they're showing in these hearings.
Well, I thought the very same thing. And as an attorney, I would imagine when one witness and one question, one line of questioning is so one-sided, and nobody can really challenge the story that's being told, that must, as an attorney, must feel so profoundly wrong or unfair, because it's just one-sided narrative?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that I would go that far, because that's not the purpose of these hearings. The purpose of these hearings are not to issue an indictment on an individual or a group. The purpose of this hearing is to educate Americans on what happened and bring the facts out so that Americans can decide what was important to them or not. If, though, these witnesses were in a court of law on a criminal charge or a civil suit, they would be tested through the truth-finding mechanism of cross-examination. But these hearings are not that purpose. And for me to hear these dyed-in-the-wool conservatives, Republicans, who are time-tested conservative people. I mean, you're talking about the Speaker of the House of Arizona. You're talking about the Attorney General and Acting Attorney General of the United States. These are not wilting flowers or would-be pretend conservatives who are really progressives in the closet. No, these are – that's what's so interesting. These are people who were on the inside, appointed by the Republican administration, and are telling a story that they have to tell.
And I think what stands out to me, and part of why I'd like to push back a little bit on this, is right after the testimony, CNN, NBC, ABC News, they all reported that they had sources inside the Secret Service that denied that some of these things happened. What her testimony...
You're talking about Cassidy Hutchinson?
Yeah. For example, she said there was this physical altercation as the president wanted to go... I don't know if we need to play the sound. We're kind of running out of time, but I think the fact that they had sources inside the Secret Service that are saying, no, it did not happen that way, I think it paints, at worst, an unfair picture, an untrue picture, but at best, maybe an incomplete picture.
Well, Cassidy Hutchinson was as close as you can be to the president. Put that in perspective. This is a person who gained the trust of the White House to hear the most sensitive conversations. Her pedigree includes working for Ted Cruz on his staff. That is who is ultra conservative. And remember, her testimony yesterday that she swore to tell the truth about was not that she was there and saw these events. She was sharing about a conversation that she was party to immediately after whatever happened in the limousine. And it's a second. So it's a secondhand, or what we'd call a hearsay version of what happened in the limousine. She was testifying yesterday that I was part of this conversation that involved Tony Ornato, who was just in the limo, and they were talking about it. So she wasn't there. She didn't see what happened in the limo, but she didn't testify that she did.
Right. That is indeed the case. She did not say, I was in the limo and I saw this happen. She said, I walked into the office and here's what I saw and was told while I was in the office. And I got to tell you, John, my takeaway after listening to several of these hearings now, including yesterday's hearing with Ms. Hutchinson, is that there were so many people who surrounded the president. This is just my view. Who seemed to be trying to throw themselves in front of the president at the time to stop the president from doing something that they felt would get the president in bigger trouble than maybe he was already in.
Absolutely. Up to and including the acting attorney general and acting deputy attorney general who testified last week, who were trying to stop a train wreck from happening. And you see people who you see people who put patriotism and the nation's interests ahead of partisanship.
Yeah.
And that gives us faith. So as we watch these hearings and see these people put themselves in the middle of a political vortex and tell what they remember and saw and heard and what they tried to do, it's commendable to hear Rusty Bowers talk about what he went through.
Speaker of the House in Arizona. Yep.
Yeah, it rings true for a Utah Republican because he talks like us. Probably because of his faith background is similar to many
Utahns.
I
thought the same thing.
I mean, that really hit home. This is a guy who was like your neighbor, and to hear what he went through, but he stepped up and he did what was right for the country at a critical time. And these people are to be commended for being willing to put patriotism ahead of partisanship.
Is it fair to say that even though President Trump likely wouldn't be found guilty in the court of law, that in the court of public opinion, he's extremely guilty?
Well, look, I think the point of these hearings is to get the information to the American people. It's there. You can click on YouTube anytime you want and watch any one of these hearings like I have done for hours. And it's compelling, it's informative, and it's history in the making that we will reflect on for hopefully decades and generations to come to learn from this so this doesn't happen again. This onslaught on the temple of democracy. And, you know, this was a bad day. And we need to understand what happened so it doesn't happen again.
John Huber, former U.S. attorney for the District of Utah, worked for the Department of Justice for a very, very long time. We always appreciate your insight. And I'll admit, I'm kind of disappointed that they're taking a couple of weeks off. I was looking forward.
Debbie likes all the train wrecks.
I have been compelled. And as like John suggested, Speaker Bauer out of Arizona, House Speaker Bowers, I listened to his testimony. I listened to all of the testimony of that day. And I just thought, here are a group of election officials within different states who were trying to throw themselves in front of the president and say, you can't do this. I won't do this. We can't do this. This is not right. So many people, it would appear from the testimony, trying to stop one man, maybe two, Giuliani as well.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I had always hoped that when January 6th happened, that everyone was caught off guard, maybe caught up in the moment, that it all happened too fast. That doesn't feel like it's the case. It feels like everybody realized what was happening to many people in powerful positions, spoke into the president's ear, and he was just not listening.
Dave and Dujanovic. Start your mornings productively with important updates on breaking news,
traffic, and reliable weather.
You'll get it all on KSL from 5 to 9 with Tim and Amanda.
Utah's morning companions for news.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.